Well, good morning, church. Man, beautiful sunny day, huh? Love it. Love this weather. Hey, well, we are starting a sermon series, just a mini sermon series called I Made It. And graduation season, right? Some of us posting on social media, I made it. Maybe you're getting a credential or nursing program or something you've accomplished and it's kind of I made it. Or maybe you landed the job you were always dreaming for. And there's something fun about saying, I made it. These next 3 weeks, we are going to talk about finances. And in three weeks, we're going to look at how we give, how we save, and how we spend. And so today, we're going to talk about giving. And as we look, anytime we talk about money and finances, I know some of us, we all enter in the room in different positions. Whether we're just barely scraping by or we're established in our career and our 401k is sitting nice and pretty, but it's always taboo sometimes to talk about it. Yet Jesus talked about finances, about money, more than he talked about praying or more than anything else. And so if we have to be honest to the teaching and honor the teachings of Jesus, then what we need to do is talk about it and discuss it. But here's the thing. What it's so important is that Jesus is after our hearts. Because Jesus says this line in Matthew 6:21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wherever you put your finances, your treasure, what you value, there your heart will be also. So I want to say this, my goal today is going after your heart. As a pastor, I want to shepherd your heart because I know God is more concerned about your heart than your finances. God does not need your money. And I'll say this, this whole Sunday, my hope is to work on our hearts towards giving. And if you're skeptical and you're like, I'm in church, I don't know about this, I want to encourage you, then give to another local church. I'm so concerned about your heart. It's not about the money coming here. God wants your heart, and that is the most important thing. So we're going to look at that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how do we get a heart like God? Because here's the thing. God is a generous God, isn't he? We have a generous, generous Father. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his prized possession so that you and I could have life. God gave everything. Not just, imagine if God, if you've grown up in church, you've heard this word tithe, which is just a numerical term for tenth. But what if God only gave a tenth of his things? I'm not gonna give you my son, I'll give you something else. God gave it all so that you and I could have life. And so that's what we're going to look at. How do we have the same heart of a father? Because where you put your treasure, there your heart will be. It's more than finances. A generous heart is so important. That's why movies like Scrooge resonate with our soul, because there's something about a wealthy person and a soul and a heart that isn't generous and loving. So let's look at this. First point, how do we have a generous heart? One, you can take out your notes. Right there, put him first. How to have a generous heart is putting him first. Put God first in your life. Last week we talked about honoring. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So do you know every time God gives you something, he's testing your heart. Because if we talk about I made it, and there's this testing going on, every time God gives you wealth, he tests you. He's testing your heart. And the way, last week we talked about honoring and showing respect, and this verse popped out to me in a new way because now it says, the way you honor God, the way you respect him, is from your wealth and give. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all of your produce. Now, we don't live in a farming society, but what we do, often we get tested every maybe 2 weeks when a paycheck comes in. We weren't paid by crops. Many of us work wages, and it automatically gets deposited in our bank accounts, and it sits there, and we get tested. Do we honor God, or do we honor Apple, Amazon, Target? and where we're honoring these things, we will put these things first because our hearts long for these things more than they long for God. Now, here's an example of this. A few weeks ago was Mother's Day, and this is, let me show a picture of my wife's love language right here. Boom, there it is. As cliche as it is, chocolates, flowers, my wife loves chocolates. Especially she'll go digging for the caramel ones and sometimes the mocha tasting ones. But what if I came back to my wife, hey, happy Mother's Day, and the box kind of looked like this. I picked out the best ones, and I actually didn't like, nobody likes the ones with the nougats and the fruit, right? And maybe some of the, I don't know, the nasty ones, right? So imagine I would eat all the good ones and then say, hey, this is what I have left over. You and I do this with God when we don't put him first with our finances. When we wait to the end of the month to see, well, let's see if I have enough in order to honor God and give God. It's like showing up to our wives. We know, I mean, husbands, you better know don't do this, right? Yet why do we do this with God? We give him an empty box of chocolates. We know this isn't the right thing. So how do we put him first? You put him first with your finances, with what you have, and then your heart will follow. Now, secondly, the second box is this. Protect your heart from greed. Protect your heart from greed. Jesus gives this parable and this story. So enter into this scene. It's in Luke 12. We'll put it up on the screen. You can open it up in the big blues. We've got our big blues in the pews. If you don't have a Bible, take one of those out. That's our gift to you. Take that home, read it. In Luke 12, 13, we have this story. Jesus is here, and all of a sudden, Jesus is in this crowd, and look at this. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I love this. And you thought you had family drama, right? He's here, and he's saying, he calls his brother out. He says, hey, my brother's being shady. Like, he won't help me out. He throws in public his brother under the bus. What a brother. And I love it because back in these days, family drama existed. Family drama, especially around finances, still exists today. One of the leading causes of divorce is finance, are our finances. And so when we look at this, this is a heart issue that Jesus is going after. And so it's in the crowd. And then Jesus replied, he says, man, who appointed me arbiter, a judge or arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So he says, and he gives us, Jesus gives us a little hint right here. Because what he's saying is, he says, he's saying, guard your heart, because your heart is going to long, it's going to try to grab onto something. And what is that? It's going to try to grab onto an abundance of possessions. Now, I believe our hearts do this because our hearts were created to go after an abundant life, which is found in Jesus. But there's a pseudo life that our hearts look for, and we think our hearts find happiness in an abundance of things. But Jesus says, watch out. You won't find life there. And then he goes on to give this parable, and we can look at it maybe in a modern way as this. So imagine with me, a man pulls up into his office, and he's got the best spot. He's got the spot, the placard that says CEO, and it's front and center. And so he comes, he pulls up, he drives in his Range Rover, fully customized, always detailed weekly. And he gets out, he walks through the doors, and he's greeted by everybody. A coffee's brought to him, his daily newspaper's brought to him. And then he sits down in his big desk made of fine mahogany, and he's sitting there, and he's looking at all the TV screens, and he's watching the news of all the stocks. And then he pulls up online, he pulls up his brokerage account, and he sees how his stocks are doing. He bought Netflix back when they were pushing DVDs, and so he got pennies on the dollar for the stock, now crushing it in the stock market. He got Amazon
stock when they were only selling books. And he was going on, and he was in Tesla when nobody knew what it was, and he bought the stock. And now he's sitting on millions, if not billions. And he's got his feet propped up, and he's sitting back in his chair. And he begins to think, what am I going to do with all of this money? I'm going to sit, relax, enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry, and just enjoy it. And he's got everything planned out with all of this money. He has all of the, he has the right car, the safest car. He's got the right insurance policies. He's got life insurance. He has an umbrella policy to protect his life, to protect his family. He's got his 401k set. He has everything set. He has the beautiful home, the right security system so others don't rob his wealth. He's got everything planned out except for one thing. He can protect everything with his finances. He can have the most beautiful life, but there's one thing he can't protect. And he discovers this as he goes home, and as he's laying in bed and his heart maybe starts to become tight, his chest becomes tight, and he reaches over and he tells his wife, something doesn't feel quite right, but he goes to bed and he never wakes up. His wife wakes him up in the morning, but he's lifeless. He could do everything. He could protect everything, be financially set, except protect his own life. Jesus gives this parable here. He says this, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. The stocks were doing well. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? If you have that in your notes, circle that word right there. He thought to himself. And what shall, underline, I do? Because here's the thing. When he's sitting here and he's thinking, he is alone. He's thinking to himself. He's not at church, surrounding, asking, getting pastor's input. He's not in his life group with his friends, followers, and saying, hey, how should I spend this wealth? What does he do? He's sitting at his desk alone, asking himself these questions. He's not asking God, and he's not asking a community around here. He's thinking, what am I going to do? What is best for me? So his heart did not put God first. He was putting himself first. And notice this as it goes on. It says this. He says, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. There I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, now notice, God does not say this often. But he says, you fool. Because he was foolish. He thought to himself, and he did not think about other people. So he didn't consult God, and he didn't consult others. And God says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get all that you have prepared for yourself? Jesus says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. So that second point, update that one. Protect your heart from greed and be rich towards God. Protect your heart from greed and be rich towards God. Because Psalm 24:1 says this, that everything, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything is that is in the earth, God made it. So you'll notice in the scriptures, often when they talk about giving, it's often returning to God what's already rightfully his. Now, years ago, my nephew, my brother-in-law is British and is Welsh, actually, and so they're going over to the UK, and they're traveling, and they've got little kids around. And so if any of you have traveled on a plane, long flight from the West Coast over to the United Kingdom, that it's a long plane ride for a little one, right? And so you bring snacks to bribe your kids, and then you bring snacks to bribe all the people around you, and you're asking for forgiveness, like, sorry that my kid is crying and throwing tantrums. And so after a long flight, they go up, and they land, and they touch down in London, and they look to my nephew, and they say, you did it. You did it. You made it. And he's like, I made it? And they're like, you made it, you're in London. And he looks around and he's looking out the window because they landed, and he says, I made it? And they're like, you made it. And the whole plane's kind of listening to him, and he's like, I made it. And then he goes, I made it with my hands? As he's looking out the window, and the whole plane just laughs because he's looking out the window thinking, I made it with my hands. And I was thinking, that's like my heart. That's like our hearts. God makes everything. I made it. God says, I made it. And our hearts say, I made it. I've come with my own wealth. But the scriptures say the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in the earth is God. In the earth is God's. It's all his. And so when he asks for a tithe, the 10%, he's asking back for what's already his. Now look at this third point here. Well, let me pause before getting to the third point. Somebody's like, oh, give me the third point. I'll get you. Some of us might look at things like this and say, well, if you've grown up in church, Rob, and we're going to look at another Old Testament example, but some of you might say, well, Jesus never taught on tithing and teaching this. So I go with the New Testament principle, because the Old Testament talks about tithing the tenth and bringing the tenth and your tithes and offerings. Yet what did Jesus often do with the commandments? So for example, the Ten Commandments. In the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, you have heard it said in the Ten Commandments, do not commit murder. But I tell you, anyone who has hate in their where? In their heart has already committed murder. So Jesus would take the Old Testament commandments and he wouldn't just brush them aside and make them easier. He would make them harder, more difficult. I mean, think about this. When Jesus was gathering and he was there, and there was one guy who said, I've done everything from a little boy. I've obeyed God. What do I need to do now? Do you know what Jesus' response was to him? Because if earlier he talked about loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the man said, I've done that. And then Jesus looks at him and says, go and sell all of your possessions and follow me. So Jesus, when he talks about giving, he talks about all of it. In fact, there's another story in Mark 12 when they're in the temple and there's rich people giving, and there's this lady who's a widow and she doesn't have much and she gives. Do you know what Jesus does? He takes a moment to stop and he gathers, in Mark 12, you can go check it out, he gathers all of his disciples. He says, come here. I need to tell you, do you see that widow? She just gave, it's two mites, which is two coins in the currency, and he says, I need you to see something. She just gave out of everything she had, and she gave so much more than those who have an abundance, and they only gave a small portion. Because Jesus said two things there. It's about your heart, and he's again celebrating a woman that gave it all. So if you say, well, I want to go by New Testament standards, okay, give it all. Because Jesus radically calls us to follow him because he wants your whole heart. So Jesus is after our hearts, and that is radically trusting him in different ways. So third point is this, test God with your finances. I'll explain that in a moment. Third point is test God with your finances. If you want your heart to be healthy, you test God with your finances. The I made it. It's actually every time income comes in, God tests our heart. But do you know every time it's tested, there's a two-way test. It's pretty cool because God tests you. Imagine you're sitting there. Imagine you're in high school and a teacher gives you a test and you know they put some funky stuff on there and they might not even know the answers. God allows you to get up and take that test and say, all right, you take it. Look at this. Look at this text with me. I'll show you this. Malachi 3:8 says this. This conversation between God and man, will a mere mortal rob God? God says, yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing God? God responds this way, in tithes, the tenth, and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation. And now let me pause right there. You and I are not under a curse because of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He was a curse so that you and I would no longer be cursed. And so we are set free in Jesus. So you can be free in Jesus and you can actually not tithe and you still will be in heaven and be with God. But as Paul says, you'll just be one escaping through the flames. That's not what God wants. God doesn't just sell tickets. We've talked about this. God doesn't just sell tickets to heaven. He wants your heart. And so he wants your heart to follow. And that's where he's going after. He says this. He says, how are you robbing me in tithes and offerings? He says, you are under a curse, your whole nation. So we're under Jesus, we're blessing. But here's the thing. When we don't honor God with our finances, things will not go well. So verse 10 says this. He says, after you're under a curse, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. God says, test me in this. He says, try me. Go ahead. Now, what's so interesting is that as I've been a part of this, hey, Pastor Mark, can we get the AC going? I think it cut off. It's done. All right, here we go. We're sweating this one out. God's really testing us. Here we go. So get some water. We'll come around. No, I don't know. Wrap it up, Pastor. God says, test me in this. He says to test me and to see what I'm going to do. Now, I want to share this story, and I kind of wrestled with this. Everyone's like, please let him fix it. I see all eyes going over there. We'll be all right, right? I only got 25 more minutes, so I'm just kidding. I'll wrap this up. But let me say this. God says, test me in this. This is something, it's the two-way test, and don't miss this. Because this is so key. This is worth sweating out to receive this blessing here. Because he says, try me. God doesn't say test me in much, but he says test me in your finances. Now, here, and I struggled wrestling, sharing this, and I don't want attention on me, but I was even wrestling with this, talking about a mentor, and a few weeks back or a month back, just in my personal finances, I was tested in giving. Because I want you to know something. As we talk about giving tithes and offerings, this isn't something that I just preach on. This is something my family and I practice. This is, and the AC comes on. Everybody said, hallelujah. Come on, right? Give it up for that. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on. So this isn't something that I'm just preaching. My family practices this. Our church practices this. Do you know everything that comes in, 10% of what we get, we give back. We give it across overseas. We give it here in this community. We are giving to help feed the hungry. We continue to give away even when it hurts. This is something my own family does. And just weeks back, we were giving. We had an opportunity to give. And my wife and I, and being a financial advisor, I'm just love numbers, crunched. And we ended up giving a few thousand over of what our budget was. But I knew in my heart to trust God. And somehow, as a financial advisor, I love numbers to be crisp. And it freaked me out for a little bit. But I knew I could trust God with my heart. Weeks, just this week, was received just a financial blessing of a family member giving me a car unexpectedly. So here weeks ago, I was trusting God and saying a few thousand beyond what I have in the bank account, and I'm just going to figure this out, and then a blessing of a car. Now, some of you are going to try and go home and give $1,000 away and be like, wait for that car. It doesn't work that way. But I'll tell you this without trying to brag, that God was testing my heart, and I didn't even know the financial blessing would come. But what I knew in my heart, that no matter what, whether finances came or they did not come, I would be okay. I could trust him. And then, like this, like the man, when blessing comes, what do? Do I just keep that blessing for myself? Or do I say, now I have a little extra that I didn't plan on having. How can I give more away? Because God promises this. He says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I have studied this text my whole life, but I never noticed this last line. He says, God, he says, test me. You will get blessed. There will be so much blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. What did the fool, the rich fool, do? The rich fool tried to find a way to store it. When you receive God's blessing, you will have more than you can hold on to. And what should you naturally do? Give that away. The fool says, I have extra, I will store it. But you, when you test God and trust him with your finances, giving the best, your first, because you're saying, I trust God with 10% and 90% is mine to spend, is a whole lot better than 100% trusting ourselves. I had somebody from the first service say, I'm going to start practicing tithing because I don't even trust myself with my own money. But when I can give 10%, and then God says, do whatever you want with that 90%. But trust me, trusting God with 10% is better than trusting ourselves with 100%. And I encourage you, some of you, to maybe take this challenge. This challenge has been here longer at Wilshire Avenue before I got here. And the challenge is this, a 90-day tithe challenge. If you aren't currently tithing, tithe. Now, and not partially tithe. Jesus doesn't give a partial of his Holy Spirit. He gives the whole thing. A tithe is a 10%. There isn't, well, I'm only tithing 2%. That does not make sense. A tithe is 10%. Take the 90-day challenge, tithe with the first of the money that comes in, and test God. He says test him. So we allow you to test him. Have recorded gifts you can give online, or you can give in the plate. We've already collected the plate, so this isn't trying to coerce you to give, but you can give online. Take the 90-day challenge and give God your first fruit. And if God doesn't bless you in that time, the office will give you your money back. I'm dead serious about this. If God doesn't bless you, if you end up in financial hardship during this time where you're testing God, we will bless you and give it back to you. Don't come to us and say, oh, I gave $20,000 in cash. No, that's not gonna work, right? But trust God, and if it's recorded, we will give back. And I'll tell you, when you test God, trust that he will throw open the floodgates of blessing. Lastly, let me end with this verse. Is this in Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Our hearts end up being far from. We can honor God, we can praise him and worship him and say, yes, Jesus, I trust you, I give you everything. And yet, we don't honor God with our treasure because our hearts are far from him. But friends, this won't be this community, because we will honor God with our wealth. And like I said, it's not just about here. If you don't trust us in this, go and give to another local church. Test God in this. It's more than what's going on at Wilshire Avenue, but I'm confident that God is moving and he's working and he's doing something, because what does he say in closing in this in Malachi? He says this in verse 9, after you're under a curse, verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe, not a partial, into the storehouses that there may be food, where? In my house. Bring your offerings, your gifts, that they may there may be food in God's house. Because when there are blessings here, people get fed. They hear the hope of Jesus Christ. So we will not be people that just honor God with our lips, but people will get fed in our community. Through our food co-op, people will physically get fed. They will get spiritually fed and hear and share the message of hope that they are not under a curse, but under an abundant life in Jesus Christ. We will keep sharing this message. More and more will come to find and follow Jesus because of that. So I encourage you, I challenge you, and I challenge you to challenge God. This is a fun way to actually look God in the face and say, God, I'm going to test you in this. Don't do it in other things. God says not to do it, but he says, test me in the finances and see that won't I bust open the floodgates of heaven. I'm going to bless you in more ways than you can ever imagine. Would you trust God? Would you honor him and respect him by giving him your first fruits? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, even as the air is just barely struggling, we're getting a little bit from it. We know that your blessings continue to overflow. God, your goodness, your grace, your mercy is so abundant in our lives. Father, if we wouldn't have anything other than you, we would be so wonderfully blessed. We thank you that you gave it all. You gave your son so that we might have life. Father, I see the things you're working out in this community, in this church, where we're opening up the student center, where we will feed students that come, and we will go after them as Nolan led us earlier, like the father goes running after his wayward son. Father, that's what you call us to do. You call us to trust you with our hearts. And may when we do this, may you open up the floodgates. May you bless. Right now, Father, I pray that as this community, we would trust you. Maybe this moment right now, we would say, God, I want to trust you with my finances. And Father, I ask, we are testing you. I ask that you would bless them in radical ways with new job opportunities, new careers, stocks, unexpected gifts would come their way. And Father, may they not store it up for themselves, but may they bless others. May they come into your presence and ask how they can be a part of such a wonderful blessing. Father, the greatest blessing we have is in your spirit. May we take hold of that life that is truly life in you. I thank you for this generous community. I thank you that you are a generous father who showed generosity to me, who did not deserve it. I do not deserve your grace or mercy, God, yet you showed it to me. You show it to us. Father, I can't help but be generous. We can't help but be generous with others. Father, I give you my heart. We give you our hearts, and we want to trust you and honor you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.